a normal podcast. Yeah. That's a normal podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Art and Labor. We're a podcast about art workers.
Well, yeah, this is about art, and it's also about labor.
It's about art and labor. I'm OK Fox.
I'm Lucia Love.
We're on a Neo Yokio kick.
Oh, God, it's so good. You guys... Oh, wow.
I made Lucia watch all of Neo Yokio.
I just watched it all last night and this morning. And so now I'm different.
God.
I'm better than
Neo
I was.
Neo Yokio, sad and lonely. I just want to have a magic home.
Yeah, yeah. People, Christmas is coming. It's apropos.
Yes, rapping because it's Christmas.
Yeah,
it's so good.
It's so good. Whoa!
It's an anti-capitalist masterpiece. Ezra Koenig, come on, Art and Labor. I've literally never listened to Vampire Weekend, but I will just talk to you about Neo Yokio.
Yeah, we'll love you. we'll just fan out real hard. Does that sound good?
Please come on our podcast. Oh my God, in this Christmas special when Arcangelo is revealed to have a podcast.
Yes. Oh my God. Subscribe to my podcast, please. Oh, wow. He must have an incredible Patreon, though, because like all of Rockefeller Center was like, I don't know. It's crazy.
Okay, before we get into super spoiler territory, let's just like recap the basic plot of Neo Yokio to people who haven't seen it at all, and then they can decide to then pause the episode and then go watch it.
Yeah.
And then come back and listen to us talk more
in
depth.
If you all haven't seen this yet, then just stop now. Watch it all. It doesn't take that long. If you have insomnia like me, you can just knock it out in a night.
And if you're an anime fan like me, I mostly like to watch things in Japanese, but this is an American-produced anime, and there's no subtitles, so you can just fucking watch it.
You can watch it without your glasses on.
You can watch it while doing other stuff.
Oh, but you don't want to. It's too good.
It's so good. Yeah, it'll captivate you.
Talk about sight gags. There's a bunch of like hoity-toity parties and stuff, but you get these scenes where it's like, oh, yeah, that penthouse bought a mini pig for the Christmas party.
Yes, these details.
There's so many visual details. You'll die. It's hilarious.
I mean, okay, so the basic plot before you pause, if you're still not sold, if you're just like, oh, I'm just going to listen anyway, I'm not going to actually watch Neo Yokio, here's why you should watch Neo Yokio. Okay, especially if you're in New York, I think you should watch Neo Yokio.
Oh, yeah.
It's set in, like, a fictional future where, like, New York is also sort of Tokyo. Half of Manhattan has been flooded.
Yeah, it's kind of like, for anyone who knows Chronic City, it's a novel that also has, like, there's like parts that have just been turned into like a ditch. There's parts that are underwater. There's parts that are
Walled city. Long Island City is literally called Long Island Walled City, and it's where all the workers live, and it's so pathetic.
Yeah. I know. Oh God. Amazon. Ugh.
It's wild. And then you follow the elite. So you follow Kaz Khan, who's on the west side by Central Park West.
And that's like, yeah, and then his arch nemesis,
Arcangelo.
Yeah, the number one bachelor.
Oh, and the main thing is, like, there's this big spectacle of the top bachelor rankings, Neo Yokio's top bachelor rankings.
Which is incredible because I don't know if you saw that article about the most eligible royalty in the world, but this will be like a periodical just like, oh, hey, these are the single wealthy people that you could imagine like stalking and never meeting.
This is why the Neo Yokio fandom needs to be better, because I saw this the headline about the Mandarin duck in Central Park West also. And the headline was New York's most eligible bachelor is the Mandarin duck, and I was like, somebody photoshopped this duck as Kaz. Like, what is happening? Why hasn't this happened?
Yeah. Well, I think that it falls into a weird territory where there are people that are totally dedicated to the narrative of revolution that are like, I don't want to watch an anime. And then there are people who are like totally into anime who are like, wait, I just want to see like some awesome adventure about friendship. And then there are people, it like falls outside of a lot of things.
It
but
really
then,
does. It's so unique. It's so bizarre.
It's awesome.
It's really good.
Everyone should just decide to love it and then have it in common. It's the best.
I love it. I want a caprese martini.
I want a caprese, like
dude,
a full
we had one yesterday, sort of.
Oh, sort of. Yeah, that's true. We had it had basil in it. Yeah. It had
cucumbers.
Yeah, there was a whole salad in the gin. Yeah.
We went to this place, Basil in Astoria, because the other thing we were up to is we went to the big community anti-Amazon forum.
Yeah, it was really hopeful. We all filed into the church with a few hundred people who were excited to fight the power. And we listened to a lot of...
People were turned away because of capacity.
Yeah, but they did also live stream it. Apparently. Yeah, I don't know. I think they were having tech issues, but there's going to be more. And there was a lot of speakers from different communities that were basically saying the thing we already know, like we're all going to fight to the teeth to make sure that these people leave.
I brought the literature. I can read some on the air, but
oh yeah, same. There were a lot of like independent outlets, and there was like international socialist outlets.
Socialist Alternative was there. PSL was there. DSA was there. What was exciting to me was
there were like community housing boards that were there as well.
Queens Neighborhood United was there. I'm really sick that DSA housing and the grassroots anti-gentrification groups are tangibly working together, because I was not seeing that for a while, and that's very good to me, because these groups they made a point to say at the event, but like they have been doing that work for much longer than a lot of the transplants in DSA.
Oh sure.
And I think it's like,
well, it takes time for people to like come to their own realization and like build class consciousness.
Let me find the little like bullet points, because those are useful to read.
Oh right.
There's other rallies. There's a rally to stop Amazon on Wednesday at City Hall. There's a rally on Sunday the 16th at Gracie Mansion. There's community board meetings in Astoria on the 18th and Jackson Heights on the 20th. Y'all hit us up if you are trying to go. Should we read any of this?
What do we got here? We were all given this information. It's just sort of like a little bullet point. It starts out, what is this Amazon deal? What is the headquarters? They're just saying the city promised, you know, I think everybody's heard, like, they're going to get a $3 billion tax break and a lot of subsidies. And I guess a lot of that works through, like, this tax credits, which are something that you can offer to any economic bracket, but only the rich are fastidious enough to ensure that they make these programs for themselves. And then, yeah, I know, right?
I mean, that's, I've been navigating the, health insurance, Medicaid shit lately, and it's wild to me that there are people whose job it is to, like, comb Medicaid recipients and, you know, if they're making too much, kick them off the insurance. And I'm just like,
yeah,
how is that somebody's job to, like, comb through people's things and be like,
you know, they're just trying to make sure that, like, Bergdorf's opens on time. You know, they're not they're not worried about, like, who can buy the stuff.
Herbert,
you demon, save us. Okay, here's one bullet point. It's only the second one. We're freaking out over this. Okay,
we just want to talk about Neo Yokio.
The city promised Amazon over 4 million square feet of land, including public land. And we're trying to figure out where the 4 million square feet actually
is. It up in the air?
Yeah, because it says land.
Yeah, it must be up in the air.
The whole, yeah, the land that's above us.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. It's like that, what's that? Sarkin? Who was the advisor to Putin that went to art school and like wrote a bunch of sci-fi stuff?
Wow.
It starts with an S. Wow. He's like one of the figures that Adam Curtis follows.
And, oh,
like,
okay.
But I read his sci-fi.
So funny.
And the whole structure of his, you know, post-apocalyptic city, because everybody has their own.
What's yours? Tell us in the comments.
Yes! Sound off. Is that there's a city above a city. And yeah. This was, like, you know, before the sale of air rights. Or, like, air sales. Or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. He talks about, like, the city that above the city that will just, like, rain down, like, this detritus from the war that they're having.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's great. Everyone is on the same tip. They're like, oh, there's different cities and they're all walled off from each other. Oh, wait a minute. What if the walls came down? What would happen?
There's a catacomb under the subway.
There is.
Where the demons live.
Yes. There actually are catacombs in the city.
I believe it.
Yeah, they're here. There's like, you can go on a tour, like a downtown tour, to the catacombs that are like here. You don't have to go to Paris or whatever.
Oh, that's crazy. Really?
Yeah, there's like skeletons underneath our city.
Like, not just in Neo Yokio?
No, it's for real. That's why this show is so good, because they actually make jokes about all, like, these things are really happening. Like,
yeah, like, downtown will be flooded.
And it was.
And
it happened once. Could happen again if we don't...
people still live there.
Build a bubble over it.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. And tubes to get around.
Mm-hmm. And have race cars. They had I'm so distracted. Neo Yokio has this race car episode. It's so awesome. They drive little Formula One race cars in these tubes underneath the ocean that has subsumed downtown. And they're just zooming around in this little Atlantis thing. It's great.
I mean, that's what Elon Musk wants. He wants to build, he wants to strip the subway of any rails and just put cars under there.
Oh, I know. Oh, remember that animation? There's like this animation of the way the subway is supposed to function.
Oh, yeah.
Like through Elon Musk's imagination. Yeah. And it's like it's everything's insane. Underground, but there's no pillars holding up. The city is nothing. It's just like a wide expanse of highways, and everyone is just like in
a
these
void.
Little they're like in little cars, and they're having a board meeting inside of
in the car because it's all self-driving. But it's so wild.
It doesn't make any sense.
The elite are so insane.
Yeah,
like it's wild.
They're so
man. We don't need to read all the points if we're just going to talk about Neo Yokio the whole episode anyway.
I know.
The really cool point I wanted to emphasize was that they write, you know, at the bottom that this is winnable. Germany successfully fought off Google.
Hell yeah!
And we can do the same. So it's a point that we've been making over and over again. And I think everyone's kind of on that tick.
Yeah, I'm so stoked that they said it took them 2 years in Berlin.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. Yeah. It was just sort of like a constant effort and like talking to the people that were...
If people didn't hear that episode, Lucia was in Berlin during a time where they weren't sure if they were going to win.
Yeah, it was pretty recent. It was like it was in June.
Yeah.
And I was talking to people because they have, like, this anarchist library. But they were just like us, you know? They're sitting around smoking cigarettes, eating pistachios in a living room. And they're like, yeah, we don't know. I mean, we just keep trying. And then it was October, I think, when Google made the announcement that they weren't going to do the thing.
They're like, yeah, we can see we're not wanted here. And Amazon's kind of...
No shit.
Like, Amazon's kind of on the fucking rocks. They are... I saw this... Oh, the other group I wanted to shout out was Whole Worker. Like, Whole Foods Working... Worker group.
That ruled.
They rule. And they posted about this job listing that was going around for a PR person for Amazon to try to, like, reach out, do, like, community engagement. And, like they're obviously so... scared of all of the like vehement anti-Amazon sentiment that's already happening. Oh man, it's gonna be a showdown, folks. Get on the fucking
Get on the front line.
Get in there. Get in there.
It's exciting. Everyone has a lot of energy. Everyone is really like firm in their resolve. There's a lot of information going around these groups, like, you know, you can find out stuff like what Amazon does to work with ICE.
Oh, yeah, that was a big point going around. And the other point that I really liked that one of the speakers said was that these Amazon workers, I guess people don't really know this, but what's actually going to happen is most of the jobs are just going to be people brought into New York City, not the other way around where people already here get the jobs. That's much less likely to happen than people being brought into the city. And those people, it's not like they're just going to go into the conveniently empty luxury towers they built all over Long Island City.
That was
already
such a crazy talk. Someone got up yesterday and said, oh, you know what they're going to want to do? They want to consume our culture. They want to move here and they want a little piece of the pie. And these landlords can tell that it's possible to jack those places up to like $4,000 for a one bedroom because that's what's going on in Manhattan. People are just coming to consume that culture. And now look at it. It's like a fucking desiccated husk of like
glass. And so then they have to make something like the Chelsea Market that we talked about on our episode 2 weeks ago, where they're like they just bring little representatives of all the cultures and markets around the world in one convenient spot.
Going to be like Epcot Center.
Epcot Center of America. Ooh. All of it.
Everything. All of it. There's going to be a little Epcot Center everywhere you go, and outside of it will just be like devastated poverty.
Yep. Yep. But hey, we preserved it all in this convenient 7-Eleven of museums.
Oh, God. Fucking human zoos.
Human zoos are real.
Human zoos are fucked.
Human zoos are real. The Chelsea Market is a human zoo.
Yeah. Barnum and Bailey is a true American innovator that has changed the course of our reality.
Sorry, I'm on one right now.
No, me too. Who knows?
Oh, God.
Oh, but, and that's, you know, going back to Neo Yokio.
Yes.
I think it's really evident that the way they have like a bar crawl episode because there's a race car driver that comes from Russia.
Right.
And is just like blazing little hammer and sickle on everything. Like, they go on this, they go on a tour of all of these different like nightlife scenes, and it's so telling. It's just like, you know, when you see the whole city and you see like they show like the slums that are being avoided, and then just like all of these little speakeasy joints where you know, you knock on his door, and then the cool thing about this place is that they have a live tiger.
Oh my God. They're so opulent and strange, but it's like that's like really how the elite function.
Totally.
It's literally like this penthouse has a helicopter, and
that's what they the city just agreed to offer Jeff Bezos
a helipad.
Yeah. It's been illegal since a helicopter flew into the Pan Am building.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
You can't trust these people with helicopters. You can't just be doling out sky rights.
Not in such a densely populated area.
Keep
such
the sky safe.
New York City. Oh boy. What a garbage fire.
yeah.
Oh fuck.
But a lot of people are getting together and they want to fight.
We're going to need the magicocrats to come and fight these demons, and then we'll laud them as saviors and follow their every move like royalty.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way forward for New York City.
Oh yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So no, totally.
I don't want to live in New York either. Even if I was a little better off. I don't want to live in New York either.
But imagine the pageantry. There were so many Santas in that musical number.
Okay, I'm gonna say we're gonna officially like really get into spoilers, because I want you to recap the original series for me, because I haven't seen it in a year.
Okay. Oh, yay. All right, so spoiler time. Neo-Yokio opens up with like, it's like this, the main character Kaz is all it's
voiced
like,
by Jaden Smith. Perfect casting.
Yeah, really, really good. He's all depressed and just kind of reflecting on existence by the reservoir. And he's like, you know, we're all equal in the grave.
Oh man, I love when he goes to the cemetery.
Yeah, he's so beat down, but it turns out to be because his girlfriend has like started, she's like gonna go into investment banking and is dating a race car driver now. But this is like the worst thing that happens in this guy's life, is that it's been 3 weeks and I'm so upset. I want to destroy an antique Cartier watch.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
he has no like perception of anything bad in the world at all.
No. So he's like, this is the worst thing. He's got a robot butler.
Yeah.
That's like, hey, that's a really priceless piece of history that you just smashed. Anyway, moving right along, and then they jet around.
They play tennis on the rooftops.
Oh yeah, everyone is always playing tennis. You see a lot of little skirts.
Yeah, it's like extreme. Like, these are extremely wealthy people. Like, and it's seemingly even more absurd than like the wealthy people we know in our universe. But it's really not that different.
No, it's totally on the level. There's like this bachelor ranking, and Kaz is always number two to Arcangelo, who is like an Adonis blonde boy who comes from the east side. It's terrible. Everyone on the west side is like, they say neo-riche instead of nouveau-riche.
Yeah. And they're also black, and one of them is like non-white. Unclear what, but
they're all different colors.
They're all like, yeah, they're more scrappy, diverse, and like just a little more interesting, but still incredibly wealthy and out of touch.
Yeah. So then so like introducing the whole bachelor thing, like Kaz starts to meet these other girls in the scene, and then they have this episode about a famous fashion blogger that has these girls who are like very worshipful.
Yeah.
Of every single thing this Helen does.
It's very Tavi Gerritsen. The person who, the like young girl who is like incredibly fashionable.
Oh.
I think her name is Tavi.
I feel like that's so many girls.
And it's like, I think she founded Rookie or something, but she's incredibly sort of, like she's like an influencer. She fucking like, there's this like shitty real estate group that like gave her an apartment so that she would Instagram about it and shit like that.
Right. Yeah. It makes perfect sense. That's basically like what I don't know. It like in the realm of female achievements, it's like people really want to know what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
Like I get paid just hundreds of thousands of dollars and given lots of free stuff to wear, and I'm wearing it.
Yep.
Like, look at me go. And here's a selfie of me eating ice cream.
And this is feminism and empowering.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, okay.
So that's like one of those figures. Yeah. So, but Helen has a crisis.
Helena. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Helena. I just forget her because her underlings are called Hellenists.
Hellenists.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, it's funny.
Oh my God. And then they go to the museum, jokes. Lucia.
Yes. Yes.
There's a party at the Met.
But Helena won't go.
Right.
Because she's decided that she wants to renounce material
goods and
wealth.
She doesn't. Yeah. Yeah.
So she's no longer a fashion blogger. But then everyone just decides to cop her fashion.
Yeah.
Which is wearing like
bandages.
Yes. So she's got like this messiah thing going, and she just dedicates herself to revolutionary studies.
Yeah.
In a dark room all alone.
And breaks up with Kaz.
Yeah. Well, doesn't go out.
Doesn't go out. Yeah.
Yeah, so then Kaz has to find this pop star to, or, you know, because this pop star was like, oh my God, pick me. Bring me to the Met.
I got the pop star. Forgot about. They're like at a basketball game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's like this pop star is like the halftime entertainment.
Right.
But she's clearly a demon because she comes from Podunk nowhere and just has weird talents that are clearly derived from the other world. I mean, how could someone Podunk have a beautiful voice?
And Kaz is incredibly, what is the word, skeptical of her. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, everybody is.
Everybody is.
Yeah, everyone is like, ew, gross. She's really populist. Like, people like her. It's so weird. She's, like, always entertaining.
Yeah, so they, like, they're mean to her.
Yeah, they're just sort of dismissive. And then it turns out, like, oh, she is a demon. She goes to the Met Gala, and then she, like...
Kaz works as a demon slayer, or bodyguard.
Right.
And he's hired to guard the Damien Hirst diamond skull.
Yeah, for the love of God.
For the love of God at the Met during the party.
Yeah, and then the demon ends up inhabiting the skull, and they have a cool fight.
God, I wish I could remember. I remember tweeting the screenshot of the things that when the skull is possessed by the demon. I screenshotted it, but now I can't remember what it was. But it's so good. Like that episode in particular.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. What happens after that?
So they slay the demon. That episode ends. What happens next? There was like the race car driver come in next?
Probably the race car stuff. That's the other part I remember.
Yeah, there's like a huge race car thing, but that's like half of the series is just like all of these race car drivers show up into town. But then there's one episode where...
Yeah.
Oh, so Kaz has to go back to the preparatory school.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, the school.
Yeah.
Right, the school.
And the music teacher.
I found the quote from the Damien Hirst skull. So when when the Damien Hirst skull is possessed by the demon, it says, tonight the Metropolitan Museum of Art will run red with the blood of the bourgeois.
Yeah!
So it's like, obviously, like, I'm watching this show and I'm rooting for the demons a lot of the time.
Mostly.
Like, and it's just like, and like, and you kind of root for Cass, like, because he's the main character and you like him. And like, he's getting in, he's like starting to think about some things critically, but he's such an idiot also. It's like.
Yeah, he's really just the vehicle to allow the world to wash over everyone. It's just like, I'm going to, he keeps getting called to show up at the place where the thing happens.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really more of, yeah, and like his, like, you find more about, like, his ancestry and his, in like, their family history and that, and how that plays a role.
Well, they sort of allude to, like, they're like, well, yeah, I mean, your family is, has a capitalist stronghold and is just, like, incredibly ruthless about this concept of, you know, killing people even to maintain your wealth.
You find out that his robot butler is actually a tiny old lady who is actually in the robot suit.
Oh, right. That was another episode where you find out that Charles actually has a pilot. And then that,
yeah.
And but they, because they go out to Long Island.
Yes, they go to the Hamptons.
They go to the Hamptons, which technically they were saying Amagansett. Like, Amagansett's not part of the Hamptons. I'm sorry. If you said you were saying in Amagansett, you like cannot hang out in like in East Hampton.
Well, maybe in the Yokio future, East Hampton's underwater. So they just call what's left the Hamptons.
Yeah, well, it was funny because they were like, oh, actually, Amagansett. And then they go out to this really dilapidated mansion that has a, like, just, you know, mold growing all over it and like, maggots inside of Chinese takeout. And, like, and then there's like, sort of there's a son of the family who's like, oh, hey, you know, welcome to Long Island, you little bitches. I'm a punk. I'm crazy because I'm from Long Island, dog. And I got like this gold chain and shit.
Oh my God. I'm driving about this character.
I'm driving like a fucking RAV4, yo.
Oh my God.
And like, he practices water magic, this punk from Long Island, who is sort of like, reminds me of Riff Raff a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's like, so he like puts this spell on the infinity pool in the backyard that turns Kaz's friends into a panda and a woman.
Right, it's the Ranma one.
Amazing.
The Ranma episode.
Amazing.
Where, oh, so good. I love when, what are their names? Oh, when the one who's turned into a woman.
Yeah. The Caprese Boys.
The Caprese Boys, yeah. Like, oh man, when he's turned into a woman, it's so good because he just gets very like.
He turns into a lesbian.
Yes. He's just like, I love this. I'm embracing this.
Yeah.
I'm going all out.
Yeah. And then Kaz has a fight with him. He's like, you're my girlfriend now. Oh my God. Because my ex-girlfriend is here.
Yeah.
Kiss me.
Oh my God. And he's like, no. Stop.
Yeah, he's like, you're ruining my chances with this girl.
So good. So wacky.
Yeah. That's everything.
When do they start the bar? Is that the next episode?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah, the Caprese Boys are constantly trying to reconfigure their product into something viable.
Yeah.
Which it's like, okay.
Oh, they're voiced by Deuces and Marrow, so that's like the other thing. It's brilliant. The show's brilliant.
Awesome. Yeah, everything just works.
It's great. Yeah. I love the Caprese Boys.
Yeah, they have a bar that only allows seating for themselves.
Yeah, it's just a little hangout spot. It's very Japanese. It's just like a three-seater bar, like, in a wall.
Have you seen all the Japanese restaurants that are opening up in Williamsburg that are, like, private seating?
Oh.
Yeah. There's, I forget? It's, like, on Kent. There's this Japanese restaurant where you pay them, you know, between, like, $200 to $500, and you just walk in with your dining party. There's like a little ante chamber where you take off your shoes and you get all like casual, and then you go into this place where it's just you and the people making the sushi for you.
Mm-hmm. That's really odd.
It's super odd. I don't know. I just walked in and checked it out, but I was like, this is a terrible place. Wouldn't that get boring?
Let's just atomize every space.
Yeah, I mean, how good can fish be? Like, it can, you know, you can pay a lot of money, but you're never, it's not like you get a different access to fish. It's just, the fish has to be like all other fish. It's just, I don't understand.
Like, oh man, yeah, it's,
how do you make a $500 fish? Same,
you can buy the most expensive fish in the city, I guess.
And then you can sit with yourself and eat it.
Oh, God.
Great.
What a mess.
Yeah, or you're like, really influential, you know, business dates or whatever.
Right. It's just a flex.
Yeah, totally.
Just to impress whatever people you're with.
Yo, I'm so powerful. But I'm by myself.
Oh, my God. The Caprese Boy that they open, it's more like just a weird hole in the wall that they...
Yeah, that they drink, they drink
Caprese martinis.
So there's like a ball of mozzarella on a skewer, some leaves, and then it's like red.
Yeah.
I don't know, they put sauce in there?
I don't know, it's a Caprese martini, weird. It's a Caprese martini.
Yeah, it's so gross. They try putting it in a can.
Oh, yeah, that's in the Christmas special.
Yeah, they try. And then, oh, the Christmas special is great.
The Christmas special is when, like, because I was watching it a couple days, because it just came out a couple days ago. That was when I was like, this is a great show. This is an amazing show.
Yeah, the Caprese Boys try to deal with everyone's sudden interest in non-material expenditures. Yeah. They go through this whole thing where it's like, oh, the elites can just pay for experience.
Yeah.
We can pay to live. We shouldn't be focusing on objects.
Oh, man. Because, okay, well, you're selling it short because it's a Christmas special. There's a Secret Santa amongst all of the top bachelors.
Oh, yeah. That's the setup.
You follow Herbert, who is voiced by Richard Ayoade, who is the department store clerk.
At Bergdorf Goodman's.
At Bergdorf Goodman's, who loves his job serving the elite.
Yeah.
Loves it.
He has no family. He lives in a single occupancy where he has one of those, like...
beds that
folding,
fold up.
Yeah, folding bed. He eats ramen in the dark in front of the television while he watches the elites give each other presents.
And he goes to his job and he loves it.
Yeah.
And
then he gets fired.
By an anime girl robot.
Yes.
By an anime girl robot.
Who is like, you understand.
And she's like crying. And
yeah.
She's like, I'm and then he's sorry, like, Herbert.
And Herbert's like, well, I wouldn't want my salary to get in the way of
your profit,
margin. And then he promptly leaves Bergdorf's upon being fired by this anime girl, and he jumps off the top
of the building. Top.
Yeah, and he but then magic takes over, and he falls into this pink realm.
The pink realm is the demon realm.
Yeah,
and so going back to the Secret Santa, so Herbert helps Kaz get a present for his Secret Santa, Archangelo. And Archangelo, turns out, also has Kaz as his Secret Santa.
Right.
The best part is the Secret Santa exchange. It's so good.
There's all these moments where that it's like a whole bunch of lower ranking bachelors giving each other SUVs and like expensive booze.
And it's like one, and they say like it's like a it's like a big television event, like Weakest Link, and like everybody's like on this big stage. Yes. And then like one of the bachelors is like the son of a military contractor, and then the other son is like a social media
he reblogs memes.
He reblogs other people's memes.
Yeah. It's so real.
And they exchange like a car or whatever. Like it's like just really but over the top. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, oh, and in so yeah, somebody gets like a Mercedes or whatever, but
stock.
Wait, on the windshield, what's that piece of paper?
Oh my god.
Oh, it's like 1,000 units of stock for Mercedes-Benz.
And like, and everyone's going wild, like it's a sports game. Like, whoa!
Yeah, what a gift! Everyone's like, "Oh, that one is really meaningful."
Like, it's like it, like the way it's shot and portrayed. It's like a television show. Everyone's watching at home, and they're all like competing to give the best gift.
Yeah, and then the announcers are like, "Equity, the gift that keeps on giving."
So good, so fucking incredible. And then Kaz and Arcangelo exchange and Herbert went to this watch store and got a really historical, one-of-a-kind watch that can track demons.
That was also, like, I guess, Arcangelo's great-great-grandfather's watch to begin with. And then it, like, went on the market and was just hiding out in this specialty store, which is amazing. What is it with rich people and watches?
I don't know.
The fuck is that about?
They need something really fancy to track their workers with.
I don't know. It's some kind of, I think it's a death cult thing. I think there's something weird because everybody has way better ways of taking stock of time.
Yes.
Like, especially, I mean, if you're going to be like an iPhone user, the time on everyone's iPhone is the same time. And you know, if you were going to keep track of stuff like that. It's more like this weird symbolic.
It's American Psycho shit.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And it's like when you see someone, you're hanging out, you're at an opening, whatever, there's a dude in a Rolex.
Yeah.
Automatically, the sound of rattlesnakes rattling all around him. I don't know why it's always connected. But all these people wearing fancy watches are followed around by rattlesnakes.
But then Arcangelo in his great moment of showmanship denies the watch from Kaz.
Yes.
Kaz gets him Kaz didn't do it himself. Herbert did it.
Herbert did a really good
job. Got an incredible gift.
Beautiful, magical, well crafted, personal.
Like, sweet and
expensive.
Super expensive. And Arcangelo denies it and then declares.
He didn't even look.
He didn't even look at it. He declares, he gives Kaz the gift of song.
Yes! And he's like, bitch, I'm going to play a song right now. That's right.
And he's like, I'm giving you the gift of an experience.
Yes.
Ah, fuck material goods.
Yeah. Also, subscribe to my new podcast.
And then the whole world is like, yeah, fuck material goods.
Yeah. All of the other bachelors get up and they start chanting.
Fuck material goods.
Yeah. It's so great.
And then that's why Bergdorf Goodman fires Herbert.
Yeah.
It's
so
because
it closes.
Everyone stops going there.
Material falls out of favor, and people all take their money and they spend it on experience, just like they were told.
Yeah.
They go and they watch the Arcangelo concert in person.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it had all of the Christmas imagery. It had every kind of Christmas imagery. It was probably the best thing anyone's seen all year.
Oh my God.
And the Caprese boys, they figured out how to work the angle. They were like, oh, actually, nobody wants the product. What they really want to do is interface with an icon. So that's why we made a little selfie booth that just has the picture of a martini.
Because their canned Caprese fails.
Yeah. And their bar fails. And then they have a merchandising line where they're like, oh, let's make like hats and shirts and stuff. And then they just boil it right down to icon. Oh, and then they worship the cloud for a second. Like, all of our photos will be uploaded into the cloud. Wow. And then they pray.
I love them.
This is so good. I love them. I don't know how you can make something better.
It's so good. I mean, we didn't even get to the part where his other aunt...
The journalist comes to town.
The writer.
Oh, the memoirist.
Memoir.
She's Parisian.
Yes. She's such a good character. And it counteracts his other aunt, who is very, like, sort of tyrannical, bossy.
Yeah, Aunt Agatha.
Agatha, yeah.
Yeah, Agatha
is Susan Sarandon.
The matron.
Yeah.
She's like, I run the business. I will tell you where to be.
Yeah.
Nobody denies these official dictates.
Yes.
Yeah. And then her sister.
Yeah, her sister. And she hates her sister. And Herbert calls her, oh, I've never met a bohemian. She's writes about their family. And it turns out that their family is... demonic in origin.
Mm-hmm.
They have demon blood.
Mm-hmm.
But Aunt Agatha hates her for exposing that.
Flat out denies it.
And denies it and says, we're magistocrats. We've always been magistocrats. But then the pink void, the demons in the pink void are like, yeah, you're a magistocrat. The magistocrats are demons. They're traitors.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn. Mm. Well, then all of the East Side boys were right. The West Side is full of neo-Riche.
Yes, yeah, so they're neo-Riche. Yeah.
So Arcangelo and his crew, they picked up on the lineage. They're like, you're not, you didn't grow up on Museum Mile.
Yeah, yeah, you're a guest of the elites because you take care of these demons for us.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
It's crazy, though.
Yeah.
New money, old money. Whoa. It's still going on, even in a anime future.
It's incredible. And I love how clear it gets. Because, like, in the first series, I remember I loved it. I particularly loved... you know, the Metropolitan Museum episode.
Oh, yeah. We never did find out where the Russian race car driver went. She's actually still missing.
Yeah, there's a cliffhanger when we don't know what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the
whole
thing.
Well, there's a lot, because then the fashion blogger ends up becoming a terrorist that blows up the... ranking board that's in Times Square.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So she has to go on the run.
Yeah.
And Kaz is the only one who can help because they have a true affinity for each other.
Yeah.
And Kaz is slowly coming to realize that there's maybe something to the Christmas stories that he's told.
Yeah, because that's the thing with the Christmas story is you're not sure if it's canonical because Charles is telling it to Kaz, and but it's like you assume that it actually just does come to pass, because at the end Kaz goes, pray for me,
yeah,
like Christmas is tomorrow and this is all just gonna happen.
Yeah, but he doesn't understand at all why he's being told the story. He has a lot of judgments around it. He's like, wait, all I want is to hear more Toblerone humor. Like, I just want jokes about big chocolate, and I think I should have been in the story more.
He's very vain.
Yeah. But I think that's also, it's like a little call to the audience. Like,
yeah,
I hope you take this seriously.
Yeah, like, sorry, this show isn't just like a wacky, weird shit. There's actually something going on here.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, because when I watched the first season, I was like, oh, it's catching on some stuff that I'm really into, but then it's also all these elites that I have to follow, and like, why should I care about them when the demons are saying the shit I care more about?
Well, yeah, I think that's like a really common attitude for people that are interested in revolutionary studies. They're just sort of like, all I care about is my shit. Like, I won't even think about the way, like, my opponent operates. I'm like, why wouldn't you? This is a great way, actually, to look at that other side.
You're right. And your eyebrow went up very good when you said that.
Yeah, like, hey, get hip to this.
We better think of... Wink.
Study wink. The rich. Study them.
Yes. Oh, my God. And because then it turns out that Kaz has demon blood, so then you think, oh, maybe he is susceptible to becoming a class traitor and actually helping Helena.
Yeah, well, he's just learning that everything that he once knew is a lie. He goes through the moment, I'm not sure what to believe anymore.
Yeah.
Now he's ready to be co-opted.
We'll see. I mean, you know. Just want a magic homie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He wants something real. Can feel it. Your friends are in the revolution.
Yeah. Let's play that at the end of the episode. Because that song, yeah, it's very about, like, I just want friendship. Friendship's real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's basically the hook of the song is, like, you know, friendship is strong and real and important.
Yeah. And it totally trashes Arcangelo's song that's just like lip service to an idea that they're supposed to be friends because they're the first and second most eligible bachelors in the city. And it's based on absolutely nothing else.
Yeah, let's follow our roles basically the takeaway.
So insane. What about an authentic life?
That's like his French auntie.
Yeah.
It's like, what about nonsense? Like, I'm going to take public transit.
But I thought that was a really underexplored character, just thinking of, like, the ways that you could renounce your position in, like...
Well, she doesn't do it enough. She doesn't really do it. She still wants to be part of the bourgeois. She doesn't really want to renounce it.
Yeah, she's just really... She's chronicling their experiences and trying to make a play that, you know, she's like, what if I can tell the future our story?
Yeah.
And have it inform some other generation, but anyway, I'm going to get on a plane and go back to Paris.
It's all in service of the bourgeois. It's taking any sort of like crack that of criticism that somebody else could find and level at them and just like owning it, which is like something that the elites do all the time, I find, where they're just like, yeah, so what if I was this, like, you know. Like,
yeah, it's complicated though, like thinking of our like national narrative and trying to reconstruct that understanding of like slavery or something, you know, like, or how are we now trying to talk about like the Confederate States,
right?
And like, how, you know, I don't know, I equate that to like, it's interesting, like, because we don't really have a clear there's no like direct action that you can take after informing people,
right?
It's just sort of like, she's like, well, we need to talk about the history of this family. We need to talk about the exploitation that occurred. And this is important. And it's, and then it's like, but then, and then.
And then what? I think she might, I think she might become a better character. But I think, like, I think
Yeah, she's not.
I think she has a lot of potential, as does Cass, but neither one of them really has fully been like, have realized or, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential in this series, like, especially going back into the whole idea of like, oh, here's the Soviet perspective. But I keep thinking like, oh, this is so great because, you know, the like representative of the Soviet situation is like, I fucking love American luxury.
Yes.
I am here as like a specialized entertainer that just wants to like plow through alcohol and like and luxury hotel rooms and stuff. And like, this place is so great. I wish I had corporate representation. You guys really did it right. And like, like, oh.
I mean, while she's wearing the hammer and sickle all over herself.
Yeah.
And it's just like.
Yeah, it's like, oh, right, communism. That's like your only corporation. Like, great.
It's not actually a revolutionary symbol. It's just like something that she's wearing as a NASCAR, literally the NASCAR branding. You know?
Yeah. And then they had that sent under bank.
Oh,
The Italian stallion is represented by Santander.
Uncle Santander. Oh, man, I love that. All of the elites are all NASCAR drivers. Oh, incredible.
Yeah.
I love the show. It's beautiful.
It's so good. And then when they have the press conference and the Italian number one guy, mm-hmm. I guess he's Italian, yeah.
I think I so. Know. Yeah, no.
Yeah,
I think
he's
so.
Yeah, like Mario Andretti or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, oh yeah, it's an incredibly violent sport. You know, it's very dangerous, but we do it because it's fucking cool. Like, hell yeah, actually. I can really get behind that honesty.
I love the fucking show.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
Yeah. Every once in a while, you come across a gem.
I can't wait to see how they take on Aunt Agatha, who I think is like really the villain of the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's the old guard. She's made it her entire life without. Well, it's like she's already been through the questioning that
yes,
maybe
she
Kaz
knows.
Is about to experience.
That's why she doesn't like her sister.
Yeah. Because she's made this firm, like, pact with herself.
Yeah.
To accrue wealth until she dies.
Yes.
For no reason. Just.
This is who we are. This is our family. And we're not going to rehash anything else. We built this, and this is what we need to maintain.
Well, I guess it is a reason. Because if they did come from demons, and they don't want to go back, and she knows what
she knows, yeah.
Yeah, she's like the one who has just given up on any kind of social reform.
Yeah, and she kills Herbert.
Yeah, she killed Herbert just like it was something she's been dying to do.
Yeah, and meanwhile, Kaz and the other aunt welcome him into Christmas dinner. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, want to get to know him and at least are open to that.
I find it interesting that Aunt Agatha didn't think about why she was killing Herbert. She was just like, no, this guy, he's asking to die. I'm here. I'll kill him. This makes perfect sense. And then this unleashes the cleansing flood of the pink
demon
realm.
I don't think she knew that to kill him, that would unleash the pink.
But
she didn't
know.
She
was there because they were literally talking about it.
Was she there?
Yeah, and then, yeah, and Herbert was like, Kaz, do it, kill me. And his eyes were all glowing purple and his hands were all electrical. And then she was there and she just stepped right out of the shadow and was like, if you're not going to do it, I'll do it.
I think she was there, but she didn't hear because it was in the pink void. I don't think she heard.
Like maybe they were talking into each other's minds.
Yeah, my theory is I don't think Agatha heard that it would unleash the pinkness. That I think all Aunt Agatha would care about was that they were hired to destroy this demon.
Right.
I think that's where she was coming from. Because she was, I think she was surprised when all the pink came unleashed.
Yeah. It just seems like, because it's like, well, you were in this little catacomb with them. Like, why wouldn't you hear this really screamy fight about, like, how the world would be completely decimated and then reconfigured?
No, I hope it. I hope it really does happen like that. I hope it. I hope it's like. Well, yes, I hope that in the real world, but I hope that in Neo-Yokio that it actually happens, because we. It's not for sure. Like it's. Yeah. It's a story that Charles
could just
is
be
telling.
A Christmas dream.
And it's also like Charles is a revolutionary, right? Charles is like a worker of the world.
Yeah, Charles is very disciplined and. Faithful servant that is completely prepared to instill revolutionary beliefs into the children.
I think so. I think something, well, in particular, I think when the pilot lady.
Yeah, the pilot lady is like, oh, time for midnight mass. You don't know a lot of things about me, Kaz.
I'm a person.
Yeah. Oh, it's incredible. Yeah, yeah, when she first jumps out of the robot suit and she's like, goddamn idiot. Yes, there's a human inside of here. Jesus Christ, they all have pilots. You've never seen this? Yeah.
I love it.
It's great. Everything
I
about
love
it.
It. And we just hit an hour. We all didn't right. talk about Bookchin at all.
Oh, should we do? We'll do a Bookchin episode next.
We'll do a Bookchin. Well, we got to do a proper Bookchin episode because we just had way too much to say about Neo-Yokio.
Yeah. It was, oh God, yeah. All right.
I'm going to play out with the song.
This, yeah, yeah. The rap.
The rap song that
hell yeah.
Kaz does at the Rockefeller Christmas show.
And then maybe a little clip that says, subscribe. Please subscribe.
Subscribe to our podcast, not
yeah.
Archangelus podcast.
No, but he speaks for us now. Can we appropriate him?
That's a great idea. I can pull that clip somehow.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Cool. Well, see you guys next time. Yeah. Please watch Neo-Yokio.
And let's have fun.
Bye. Ezra Conan, come on our show.
Yes, please.
I never had a friend like you. I don't think I'll ever
Wink.
Find another. All the bad things that we've been through. It's so good we got each other. I know sometimes it's hard to find something to believe in. Nothing ever seems to last for more than just a season. But brotherhood and unity will never lose their style. I wanna let you know how much your friendship drives me wild.
Yo, MC Kaz, bringing the spells from the past. A friend like you is really hard to come by. Neo-Yokio is sad and lonely, sitting counting money in my penthouse. I just wish I had a magic homie. Archangelo, you're kinda like my nemesis. We've been head to head since the Genesis. I just really hope that you remember this. I'm only rapping for you cause it's Christmas. I be a Neo-Yokio scheming, cause I'm always chasing after demons. You think you fly at me, then you dreaming. You'll be my arch nemesis until I stop breathing. Look, MC Kaz. Look, a friend like you is really hard to come by, yeah. Neo-Yokio is sad and lonely, yeah. Swimming in the sea beneath 14th Street, yeah. I just really wish I had a magic homie. Damn, Archangelo, playing my Nintendo. Damn, Archangelo, in and out the window. Yeah, Archangelo, in a sudden battle. Archangelo, turning the piano, let's go. Flexy and golly like Chilby, but I got Christmas trees trying to kill me. The greatest demon slayer I will be. I'm throwing cash riding on the Mecca, you feel me?
never had a friend like you. I don't think I'll ever Wink. Find another. All the bad things that we've been through. It's so good we got each other. I know sometimes it's hard to find something to believe in. Nothing ever seems to last for more than just a season. But brotherhood and unity will never lose their style. I wanna let you know how much your friendship drives me wild.
Yo, MC Kaz, bringing the spells from the past. A friend like you is really hard to come by. Neo Yokio is sad and lonely, sitting counting money in my penthouse. I just wish I had a magic homie. Archangelo, you're kinda like my nemesis. We've been head to head since the Genesis. I just really hope that you remember this. I'm only rapping for you cause it's Christmas. I be a Neo Yokio scheming, cause I'm always chasing after demons. You think you fly at me, then you dreaming. You'll be my arch nemesis until I stop breathing. Look, yo, MC Kaz. A friend like you is really hard to come by, yeah. Neo Yokio is sad and lonely, yeah. Swimming in the sea beneath 14th Street, yeah. I just really wish I had a magic homie. Damn, Archangelo, playing my Nintendo. Damn, Archangelo, and then out the window, yeah. Archangelo, and a sudden fan, oh wait. Archangelo, I turn it up, piano, let's go. Lexi and Golly like Chill B, but I got Christmas trees trying to kill me. The greatest demon slayer I will be. I'm throwing cash riding on the Mecca. You feel me?